Today, we're reminded of our identity as God's own people, as Christ's body on earth. Acts tells us that we're witnesses. We have seen the risen Lord. We have experienced the risen Lord, and we continue to make that experience known.
That's the Reverend Juan Carlos Huertas, and today he brings you an inspiring sermon entitled, Why Are You Looking Up? I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. We're honored to welcome to Day One today the Reverend Juan Carlos Huertas, lead pastor of Grace Community, a United Methodist congregation in Shreveport, Louisiana. Before coming to Grace in 2014, Juan Carlos served as senior pastor of St. John's United Methodist Church in Baton Rouge. A graduate of Louisiana College, he earned his Master of Divinity from Candler School of Theology at Emory University. He blogs at spiritstirrer.org. Juan Carlos, welcome to Day One.
It's good to be with you.
You were last with us 3 years ago, and we've been privileged to follow your ministry over the years. 14 years ago, you participated in a program with two other seminarians who were fellows of FTE, the Forum for Theological Exploration. And since then, you've served three churches in Louisiana, continuing to serve as lead pastor of Grace Community, a thriving United Methodist congregation in Shreveport. So give us a sense of the uniqueness of Grace Community.
Grace Community is a growingly diverse congregation, a people that are settled in the south side of town, and we're becoming a congregation that helps people connect that have been away from the church for a while. People who thought would never come back to church are finding a home in this diverse and messy place of worship and service.
And Grace is not that old of a congregation, is it?
It's really not. So last year, we celebrated our 25th anniversary, and really we're living into that young adulthood in the life of our congregation.
And you seek to provide a transformative worship experience. What do you mean by that?
You know, we were a congregation that was established in the early 90s during the Seeker Sensitive Movement. It was the first contemporary worship congregation in the city of Shreveport of any tradition. And so I think now as we are looking into 2018 and beyond, we're thinking, how do we bring about the musical style of this congregation in 2018 and beyond alongside some deeper ancient patterns of formation that allow people to reconnect, to grow into the way of Jesus, but also to still have that identity as a people rooted in indigenous ways of telling the story of faith. And so when you gather, you're going to have kind of a coming together of ancient and future, and we are still thinking that we can maximize that reality as we continue worshiping together.
And then one of the ways you seek to reach out to the community is through the Common Ground ministry. What does that involve?
Common Ground is our missional partner in an area of the city called Cedar Grove, an area that's impoverished, an area that could be seen as a forgotten part of our city. We've been part of that community now for close to 20 years. And so we're reconnecting. We're not just doing pantry work and meal work there, but also we're beginning to see more and more members of that community in Cedar Grove worshiping with us and becoming part of our mission and ministry in at Grace Community, in our congregation. And so it's amazing how as we come together, we are being transformed together. And it's very exciting.
Juan Carlos, you took a six-week sabbatical last summer and spent a week at St. John's Abbey in Collegeville, Minnesota, and then a week in Puerto Rico before the hurricane.
Oh, yes.
Puerto Rico is your birthplace. And I suspect those 2 weeks had very different takeaways for you, deeply personal ones as well. Tell us about that.
You know, the time away in silence and reflection in some ways prepared me to go home. And so it was a time to let go of some of the busyness of parish life. You hear a little bit of that in my sermon today. And then to be able to kind of recalibrate my soul And then about a few weeks after returning from my silent retreat time of prayer and reflection, I took a plane and went to Puerto Rico after being away for 13 years. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing experience, reconnecting with my country, with my language, with my family, my grandparents. Little did I know, or I didn't know, that then this hurricane would come by and devastate the island. And so that reconnection provided a space for me then after the storm to grieve alongside other Puerto Ricans, but also to ask the question, who are we as a people? And then how can I, as a person who's in diaspora, be part of the future of the island? And it also provided me a much more rooted space for my identity. Mm-hmm. And that's where, I took back my middle name, Carlos, after not using it since I began pastoral ministry. So there's more there, but all of that has been part of this growth in my own life in the last 5 to 6 years. And I'm thankful that I had that opportunity, those 6 weeks, to step away from pastoral life.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Ascension Sunday, and your sermon focuses on the story in Acts chapter 1. Acts, of course, is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. What can you share about this two-volume story?
So I have to confess, Peter, that Luke is my favorite gospel. And it's one that I have spent a lot of time in over the years. There's something about the grittiness of it that I love. And so then the second volume, Acts, I love that first chapter where we have the scripture today, because I always think of this marvelous work that Jesus has done, and now he's up to another one. And yet how easy it would be for the disciples to just think of the marvelous works and focus on that marvelous work, instead of going back to the grittiness of what Jesus had been up to all throughout Luke, about healing and reconciling and a lot of folks who were being freed from demon possession and those kinds of things. And so for me, that we who are receiving it today might too have the temptation to focus on these stories as this marvelous work that happened long ago and not pay attention that actually Jesus is asking us to continue that work. So get back to the grittiness, get back to the messiness. People need good news today. And I think so. I think Luke Acts is as important to us today as it was 2,000 years ago.
Would you read it for us?
In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, unto the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
It's a fascinating account, and I was struck by the fact that for 40 days after Easter, Jesus appeared to the disciples, the apostles, and taught them further, and now this happened. So it sounded as though he made a number of appearances. But what strikes you as you read this passage?
Yeah, those 40 days, I almost would have loved for Luke to tell us more about what Jesus did during those 40 days. It seemed to me, from the little bits that I have, I'm fascinated by how Jesus seemed to kind of show up and leave, show up and leave, almost as if he was trying to get him used to him not being around.
Yeah.
And then the humanness of those encounters, from breakfast at the seaside to this encounter with Thomas, where he comes and says, hey, you can touch me. I'm here. And so I think that what strikes me is how real this is, how human it is. And then it's bookended by this really miraculous thing, this unexpected thing, this very divine thing. And yet, even in the text today, we're brought down to earth with these men in white robes who, by the way, I love, it says they stood among them, almost like they're all looking up going like, okay, what's happening? And they get their attention. And so even that just seems like a very human response, a very earthy gospel, gritty, like I've said before. And I just love this account and love what Luke gets us back into the narrative, away from the distraction of the miraculous. And what we're going to see, Peter, if folks continue reading Acts, which I hope they do, is that there's a lot more to come. But this time, those miraculous things are going to come from us, the disciples of Jesus.
Well, your sermon is entitled, Why Are You Looking Up? Juan Carlos, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter. It was a promise. They would not be left alone. They had already lost him once and were already grieving losing him again. There have been so many amazing moments, so many miraculous things, so many people healed, so many conversations had, and so many opportunities to learn. There was also that amazing set of weeks when they had gone two by two to rehearse the work of Jesus. The disciples returned filled with joy at what they had seen, at the ways that God had used them to bring the kingdom to those that needed it most. There had also been the sadness of their friend, teacher, and Lord, taken into custody and then crucified. And then the disappointment of their actions caused by their lack of faith and their fear. But then he showed up like he said he would. He encountered the two disciples as they went to Emmaus. Then he met the 12. Thomas could not believe it until he saw it. But all of them were comforted that Thomas had spoken what many of them felt. This time, though, was all about passing on the work, about giving final pointers, and about reminding them that they would have what they needed to continue the work started. This work was the kingdom, the visible rehearsal of what would be permanent at the end of time. What could be better than the presence of the resurrected Jesus? Soon, they would find out. Ascension Sunday pivots us from Eastertide into Pentecost. It moves us from the long narrative of Jesus' life that culminated with his death and resurrection and now lands us in this moment. We, like the disciples, are left wondering, what now? Life in Jesus will be easier with his physical presence. I often wish I could hang out with him like the 12 did. This time, though, the disciples will not be left alone. We will not be left alone. The Holy Spirit will come down. Now we just need to hold tight and wait. Today, we're reminded of our identity as God's own people, as Christ's body on earth. Acts tells us that we're witnesses. We have seen the risen Lord. We have experienced the risen Lord. And we continue to make that experience known. We, bearers of the message that our brokenness, strife, and our missing the mark does not define us, that forgiveness, restoration,
and redemption are possible. We, bearers of the message that the promise of long ago, the promise of a God who creates, does not break, who sustains, does not harm, who reveals, does not hide, this God has come to us in Jesus. Now, the promise is trusted to us, God's own people, so that all creation can experience the wholeness, integration, peace of God. As Jesus reminds the disciples of who they are and of their journey and next steps, Jesus begins ascending. Clouds carry him to the right hand of God. We are in awe of what we are experiencing. I am sure that it is a beautiful sight, a sight that you and I will be hypnotized by, like a balloon that gets away or a plane taking off with a loved one. We cannot do anything but stare and wait until the last possible glance is gone. The disciples did not have that luxury. As Jesus was being lifted up, two men in white robes stood by them. Like fellow onlookers, like Jesus on the Emmaus Road asking, "Why are you looking up? What are you looking at? Don't you see that Jesus will be back? Go on and get back to work. Don't be distracted. Move on and stop staring. There's nothing to see here. The Jesus who broke into history once will break into history again. That is the promise." How? Through the disciples. Through us. As long as we don't waste our time looking at the heavens. When I first think about this, I want to tell myself that I don't do this. I am a type A personality. I would consider myself a go-getter. So, of course, I'm not just staring and waiting, right? Many of our faith communities are very busy also. Their calendars filled with activity. The parking lot full every day. Meetings happening all the time. Busy with good things. Worship, Christian education, administration, service opportunities. Truly, the list would be endless. These could be called holy distractions. This past summer, I took a 6-week sabbatical from my work as a pastor. As part of this time away, I spent a week at St. John's Abbey in Collegeville, Minnesota. The first few days in the silent retreat were the toughest. My mind spinning with so many things, most of them church-related. Little by little, though, I realized that my soul was filled with so many holy distractions, to the point that I was often paralyzed and frustrated. The silence and solitude provided a helpful space, those things becoming my two men in white robes, calling me back to the mission of God in the world. For me, the holy distractions have become a form of self-soothing, of procrastination, a form of avoidance of the work that I had been called to as a follower of Jesus. I am sure that I'm not alone. I also know that this affliction does not just happen in our individual lives, but happens also to the collective people that we call the church. In his book, The Way of the Heart, Henry Nouwen reminds us that our task, our call, is the opposite of distraction. He says it is to help people concentrate on the real but often hidden event of God's active presence in their lives. Hence, the question that must guide all organizing activity in the parish is not how to keep people busy, but how to keep them from being so busy that they can no longer hear the voice of God who speaks in silence. Now, this is no invitation to quietism or to inaction. It is for me an invitation to stop staring and to start to see God in our horizontal relationships. The book of Acts reminds us that God truly showed up in Jesus, flesh, blood, sacrifice, struggle, and glory. Jesus enfleshed and still present. Soon we will receive the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus in our life together that will give us what we need to carry on the work. On this Ascension Sunday, I invite you to take inventory of your life and your life together. In what ways are you staring at the sky, waiting for Jesus to return? In my own life, I confess that I am spending too much time within the walls of the congregational space. I am spending too much energy on administering the life of our congregation. I am spending too much bandwidth wondering what the future holds for the United Methodist Church, my denominational home. I am spending too much time attempting to keep God's people happy. All in the name of Jesus, of course. All out of love for the body of Christ. Yet still staring. Still looking out, still hoping that Jesus is really not gone. But I sense a new energy in my life, in the community I serve, and in the world. I sense a hunger for making goodness, love, and compassion enfleshed. I sense a deep need for the people called the church to pay attention and to stop staring, waiting busily for Jesus to make all things new. Instead, let us shine a light on where we see Jesus alive and well around us. Jesus in the local marketplace as we shop with others for food that is good for mind, body, and spirit. Jesus in our homes as we wash dishes, do laundry, and pay the bills. Jesus in our workplace as we live into our vocation, deal with co-workers, and serve others. Jesus in our congregations, as we sing songs of praise, share bread and cup, and are sent back into the world to be Jesus. Jesus in the abandoned places, as writer Shane Claiborne tells us, the places that others have forgotten, but that Jesus remembers well. As we look around and see Jesus, our lives are transformed. We are reminded that we do not have a monopoly on who Jesus is. We are humbled by the many ways that Jesus shows up forgiving, restoring, continuing the work of creation from the beginning of time, the way that Jesus shows up loving, healing, and calling our name and the name of our neighbors. It would be easier to keep on staring, allowing our sugary memories of Jesus, of the church, of how things should be to lull us into paralysis. But today, Ascension calls us to pay attention. It awakens us back to where we are, rooting us in the soil given to us to till as workers in God's vineyard. So people of God, why are you looking up? Wake up. Jesus will be made known again through you. Yes, one day he will come again, but until then, you are it. You will have empowerment from on high. You will have all you need to continue the work of Jesus in history. All of creation awaits with expectation to hear the good news of forgiveness, restoration, new life. The words of God, who in history and through a people make salvation known. So, people of God, now, get back to work. Amen.
You've been listening to the Reverend Juan Carlos Huertas, Senior Pastor of Grace Community United Methodist Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. For a free transcript of his message for Ascension Sunday entitled, Why Are You Looking Up? Call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888 888- 877-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Remember, Day 1 depends on the financial gifts of faithful listeners like you. Please consider supporting our ministry with a generous donation. We appreciate it. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week on Day 1, Juan Carlos Huertas returns with an inspiring message for the Day of Pentecost entitled, Understood. You won't want to miss it. Juan Carlos Huertas offers some final reflections on today's sermon with our host, Peter Wallace.
Juan Carlos, you said Ascension Sunday moves us from the long narrative of Jesus' life that culminated with his death and resurrection and now lands us at this moment. And as Jesus ascends to the heavens, we, like the disciples, are left wondering, what now? And you added that life in Jesus would be easier with his physical presence with us as he was with them. And we've never enjoyed that benefit. I agree, but why do we think that would be easier?
I think because we're human, we rather have this presence. It reminds me of when we grieve when a loved one has gone away.
Yeah.
No matter how old they are or what's happened in our lives, we miss them being next to us. We are inspired by their presence. I recently did a prayer time with my congregation where I said, imagine that Jesus is sitting next to you. And just evoking that reality brought much emotion to people. Mm. And so I think it's a human thing to long for a physical presence. And so I'm not surprised that, at least for me, that I feel like it would be so much easier if Jesus was next to me, cheering me on, but also doing things alongside me.
Mm. I just love the end of the text, the disciples looking up as Jesus is taken away and two men in white robes are suddenly there asking in their midst, as you reminded us, why are you looking up? It's kind of a silly question, really, but it reminded the disciples and us that we're of no use just waiting for Jesus to return. What do you think?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think there is a tendency in the church for us to keep on kind of focusing on that. Maybe the way we see it, I see it in my own culture, is the whole idea of going to heaven, or this thing that's going to happen at some point. And I think it's almost like if Luke was writing for us specifically today, I wonder if Luke would tell the American church, stop waiting for heaven or going to heaven or when you die. You have the job to do right here, mm-hmm. to make heaven known right here, right now, to those around you, to your coworkers and friends and strangers and neighbors, friends and enemies. So just stop the when I die talk or when I go to heaven talk and do what Jesus told us to do. I think that's the same type of encounter we have in this first chapter of Acts.
And you spoke of holy distractions that can seem good but keep us from doing the real work of following Jesus. They become a form of self-soothing, of procrastination, of avoidance to that real work, as you put it. What needs to happen for us to see these holy distractions for what they are?
I am inviting my congregation to be more mindful of their every moment of life. I think we're learning a lot more in Eastern traditions mm-hmm. about the importance of mindfulness. And yet, what we don't realize is that what's exactly what God did when God showed up in Jesus. God showed up in Jesus in this world, in this embodied person, and lived life. And so, could it be that if we become more mindful of our steps we take, of the people we encounter, of the birds in the air, and the movement of the wind, that we might begin to see God in all things, and that in that encounter, we would be transformed. And what it happens is it redirects us, and it quiets our souls so that we can then pay attention, mm-hmm. and we see what's most important before us in our lives, and in the life of our congregations as the body practices that together.
Mm-hmm. Juan Carlos, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week?
Get to work. Just get to work. The kingdom of God is needed through us.
Amen. Juan Carlos Huertas, thank you for being with us. We look forward to having you back next week.
Thank you, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.